Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anna O'Donoghue. If I sound a little less frantic than normal, that's because I'm recording this intro just after I've spoken to today's guest, Catherine Callahan. Catherine is a mindfulness expert and a yoga teacher. She writes, if you read The Country Living, you'll have seen it for sure. She's been writing a column on mindfulness for us for a long time now. And honestly, I just feel so calm and so zen after speaking with her. So she's clearly very, very good at what she does. And that's just from chatting to her. Catherine was saying a lot of people say to her that she has a very soothing voice, and she definitely does. So if you're looking to be brought down for a bit of calm, chill, then she's definitely, this is a good one to listen to. We spoke all about Catherine's background. She's very interesting. She was in the army. She worked for British Airways before she got into yoga and mindfulness. We speak about how she got into it then, and all about the benefits, of course, of yoga and mindfulness and meditation and all of the practices that she's into. Catherine also has her own podcast, so if you're just looking to add a little bit of calm into your life, or, you know, we were saying as well, me and Catherine, that, you know, mindfulness is a word that's thrown around a lot. So I think in Catherine's own podcast, One Calm Voice, if it's something that you're looking to explore, then maybe that's one to check out as well. So I hope you enjoy. How's everything with you at the moment, Catherine? How's lambing going? Are you finished or are you getting there?
We're getting there. We're just about 2/3 of the way, but I'm missing my workforce today now because they're all gone back to school. So before I came in, I was trying to get injections into yos and all sorts of mad stuff, but it's all done. And it has gone very well, to be fair. We've had some lovely help from our neighbours as well if we're stuck, you know, so it's all good. Thank God.
That's great to hear. And you've the three kids back to school now this morning?
Three of them back now today, yeah. Yes. Gratefully back.
Yeah, but like you said, missing the small bit of help as well.
Oh yeah, I do miss them, in fairness. And my middle daughter, she's 11, she was like, don't do anything with the sheep now today until I get home from school. I'm not sure I couldn't do that, but anyway, they checked them all before they left for school and everything, so it was lovely. It's great. Yeah,
it's lovely for them to have that as well.
I think it's a great experience. Like, I didn't grow up on a farm myself, so I find that, and we even had the vet out on Saturday, and she had to do a cesarean section on one of the yos, and I have never even witnessed that before. Like, so I thought it was wonderful, and the children as well were fascinated. So I think it's a great education for them and experience. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And Catherine, before we dive into all things yoga and mindfulness and everything else, we might just go into a small bit about yourself and your own background, because that is very interesting, because you'd have loads of different hats and roles and everything over the years. I suppose maybe to start, after school you went into the army, Catherine, did you?
I did, yes. I joined the Air Corps straight after school when I was 17, my goodness.
And that seems so far away from kind of yoga and mindfulness, joining the army. You'd always think of regimens and strict and rules and, you know, it seems quite intense.
Yeah, it probably was. But I suppose, I think, and of course I don't have any brothers either. I just have sisters. I have two sisters. And so my poor mom's heart, I think, was not broken, but yeah, she just didn't think that that would be a career choice for me, because like you say, very regimented. I was very, very free spirit. And yeah, just different, but I was still drawn to it. I remember, I think part of it was because for career guidance, our career guidance teacher in school said, oh no, that's not for girls, you shouldn't do anything like that. So of course me and my friend decided, well, look, we'll show him. And then of course I got invited for the interview, and the moment I walked into Cathal Brua Barracks in Drumcondra for the interview, I just knew, oh, this will interest me now, I'll enjoy this, it'll be, and it was an adventure, you see. I think that that's the thing, and every day was different, and I just loved it. And even though that's a long time ago now, I still I'm in a WhatsApp group with my buddies. Like there was me and 29 boys at the time, and we've all obviously grown up together, and we still have our WhatsApp chat. We have our WhatsApp group, and we're in contact every week. And when restrictions lift, we try and have an annual reunion every year. So we've missed that now last year. So we're hoping we might get to manage it this year. And it was just fun. That was it. It was adventurous and fun and a challenge. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And did you enjoy being an aircraft engineer, that kind of mechanical side of it?
I did. Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Like I said, every day was different and interesting, and yeah, and a challenge. And I enjoyed that. I enjoy kind of understanding how things work, you know, and so, and then fixing things if we can fix it, you know. And in that way, maybe my yoga is not that far removed from that, because I still like to understand how bodies work and how minds work, and then try and offer. They're not as easy to fix as aircraft now, I must say, or as straightforward, but yeah, try and offer a solution to at least ease some pain and help in whatever way I can. Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say fix, but yeah, certainly help in whatever way I can. Yes.
Yeah, guide maybe.
Yeah, guide, exactly.
Whereas you have to fix the aircraft now, or else you know there has to be a kind of a final solution with them. Whereas the yoga, you're more just guiding people around.
Yeah, exactly. Now you said it. Yeah.
But it sounds like when you're looking back on it, Catherine, that it was a positive experience. That you liked it, and you know it was a good time.
It was. I was going to say one of the best things, like I don't want to say the best thing, because we've done lots of good things in different areas. Like obviously my family is the best thing that I think that I've ever been part of, you know, but certainly the Air Corps group is up there in top three anyway, I would say. Just wonderful, great enjoyment and fun, and yeah, challenge, and met lovely people. Like, and the thing about it is, that shared experience, I suppose, that we had, like you did say, it was regimented and it's very intense, and you do things and are challenged in ways that you never imagined that you would be. And then when you do that in a group, it kind of does bond you. And I know that even though if I haven't seen the guys, like I said, in more than a year now, I could pick up the phone if I was stuck and say, guys, look, I'm stuck here with this, and they would do anything to help, and vice versa. If any of the boys were stuck, likewise, I would do anything I could to help. So, yeah, that's a treasured experience of mine.
And after some time in the Air Corps, Catherine, you kind of came out of it and you went into, was it British Airways you went to?
I did. I was working as a contractor. I worked in Aer Lingus and in British Airways, and I worked in Air Atlanta, which is an Icelandic company as well. Yeah, I worked in lots of different places. I worked in Cambridge as well, but I suppose British Airways and Rockwell Collins. At the time, what was happening was this in-flight entertainment was becoming a big thing. You know, do you remember Fado when you got on a plane and there was only maybe one screen up ahead of you to watch, long before everybody had the screen, if we can remember what it was like to fly in a plane, but long before everybody had the screen in the back of the chair. And so I was working at the start of that kind of revolution with British Airways to put IFE, as we call it, in-flight entertainment, into every seat, and in particular into like business class and first class, where the seats turned into beds and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, so that was a job that I had there. I enjoyed that as well. It was very interesting, and it took me to lots of different parts of the world as well, which I enjoyed.
And you were in lots of different places and traveled to lots of different places. It seems like a very glamorous experience, Catherine.
Well, it does. You would imagine that. Like, it's lovely being like in London on a, as happened to me, I was in London, I think, on a Monday or a Tuesday. And then by Thursday, I was on the way to Singapore, you know. But at the same time, and like you had a kind of like, you know, business account, and you always stayed in the nice hotels and you always traveled like business class. And yeah, it was a lovely experience, but it wasn't enough for me. It kind of rung hollow, you know, that way. Yes, it was nice, but it was lonely as well, because like there wasn't very many females doing that. And so, yeah, it was lonely. It was lonely. It was interesting, but it was lonely. And I enjoyed seeing, like, I visited Grand Canyon on my own, you know, like a big saddle, you know, but I enjoyed all of those things. I enjoyed the experience of it, but there's only so much that you can, you know, enjoy. Well, for me, anyways, only so much I could enjoy without sharing that experience with anybody else, you know. So, but I really enjoyed it as well, to be fair.
And was there any particular moment or anything in particular, I suppose, that brought you away from that kind of life and brought you home again?
Just a desire to try something different. I felt like I had enjoyed that, but I couldn't see myself doing that long term, you know. And I had a desire. I always had a desire to be a mother, like, you know. So I thought, well, this isn't ever going to be a role that I can fulfill as a mother, you know. And I didn't have a partner at the time anyway, but, and you're not going to really, I was going to say pick up, that's not the right word, but, you know, meet anybody when you're on the road all of the time like that, you know. So I had a desire to come home and to try something different. So I decided then that I would come back to Ireland, and I could still work, you know, part-time in the airport. And I went back to full-time education. I did a degree in philosophy and anthropology. I suppose philosophy, back to that desire to know and to understand about things, and anthropology is really based on trying to understand, you know, the humans, you know, man, the study of man as man, you know. But
that's fantastically interesting.
Yeah, I loved it. I love philosophy more than I loved anthropology, to be fair, but I really enjoyed, that was a real curveball, like, from what I was accustomed to. But I really enjoyed that. I really did, I must say.
And at what point, Catherine, then did you come more to, where did yoga and mindfulness all fit into this picture? Was it something you always practiced, or did you come more towards it when you were doing the degree?
It was something that my inspiration really is my mammy. Okay. Like, she would have practiced yoga in the 70s. But it wasn't a thing. Yes.
Ever before there was brunch yogas and chai latte yogas, your mammy was at it.
My mammy was at it. Yes, she was. Now, not alone. There was a few women in the village that practiced it and went into, well, she got a book, I believe, from the library, first of all. Now, she was a very forward-thinking woman. And like, even when she worked in the UK as a young woman in her 20s, she worked on the assembly line. She was one of the first women to work on the assembly line in Vauxhall Motors, you know. So she was kind of, you know, she forged her own way, but incredibly wise and gentle and steady. And I think that she kind of, you know, brought us up really mindfully, without ever the word mindful ever being brought into the equation. And I think that that all of those things, like, you know, going off and joining the Air Corps and then traveling the world, you know, all of that, not traveling the world, like, I mean, lots of people nowadays travel the world, like, that's a big deal. But I kind of always went into those situations with the belief, like, the steadiness that, you know, whatever happens, I'll be okay. And I owe that to my mom, you know, to the way that she brought us up. And so that was always part of me, that kind of yoga and mindfulness thing, but I didn't have a name for it, you know. And I would have practiced yoga as well, you know, when I lived in Dublin and things like that. But it was only really after, you see, I came home to Carlow then, after all of that, the degree and everything like that. And I came home to Carlow then when my mom was sick, you know, My mom and my dad and my uncle Martin, actually, the three of them.
All together, Catherine?
Yeah.
That's quite a lot to have on your place and to take on.
Yeah, I had the three, as I used to say, that my three old children, my mammy, my daddy and my uncle Martin. And then I had three young children of my own as well. My youngest actually was 5 weeks old when we moved back home. And there was a lot going on. Yeah, there was. Like, my husband was working in Dublin. So, and we were building a house and he was finishing a PhD. And I was trying to manage, like I say, mammy, daddy and Martin, and Martin's few cattle and the sheep. And yeah, there was a lot. And Martin's dog, of course, as well. So there was a lot to be managed. But yeah, I found that mammy was a joy, you see. She gave you a great strength always, like, you know. And then when she unfortunately died, she passed away then in 2012. And I remember then, I still, obviously, mammy and our Martin and daddy, I was still minding them. And I just remember thinking, I won't be able to cope without my mam. And I just remember being up on the hill here, up in the field with the sheep, and saying, just, I don't know who I was asking, but I was just going, mammy, I can't do this. How am I going to do it? And from somewhere, you know, whether you believe it or not, anyway, from somewhere I got this kind of sense, you know, go back to yoga, you know. And
you felt, so, like, you felt like she was guiding you into that practice that she loved.
Yeah, I do. And so I did the same thing then. I borrowed the book from the library because nobody around here was teaching yoga. And I started that way. And then, interestingly then, or coincidentally maybe, my daddy was up in Tala for his treatment for his chemo, and I just happened to find, you know, the way these things happen, like, that I got this notification or something online about this mindfulness course that was running in a college in Tala, and it was running on a Tuesday, and daddy always had his treatment on a Tuesday. So while daddy was having his treatment, I was doing this mindfulness course, and it all kind of just spiraled on from there. Yeah.
And did that help you? Did yoga and mindfulness, and did that help you get through that difficult situation, or not get through, but maybe just process it a bit better, kind of?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I found that, do you see what happened when I started the mindfulness course? I recognized it immediately as, oh, this is my home. This reminds me of my childhood. This is what it is that I grew up with, and I didn't know what it was. And so that helped me, and it helped me to recognize that, yes, you know, mammy is gone, but and there's a piece of me gone with her, but there's also a piece of her left here with me. And it just gave me that sense, that clarity, and that sense of soothing. You know, soothing, and then steadiness, you know, as well, and joy as well, because you remember that, yeah, it's heart-wrenching to lose somebody like that, but I'd suffer that 10 times over rather than not have had her in my life, you know, in the way that she was, you know, that sort of way. So yeah, but yoga and mindfulness definitely did. It helped me. It kind of reshaped, like, every part of my life. Or I don't know if it reshaped it, or if it just gave it a structure, and then it gave me a pathway
lens
forward.
Maybe to look at it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's a good way to describe it, Anne. Yeah.
And Catherine, like, for first of all, I suppose it'd be maybe useful to say, mindfulness is something we hear a lot about. But if there's anybody listening to this who kind of hears the word mindfulness but doesn't 100% know, I suppose, what mindfulness is, how would you describe it?
I would describe mindfulness as a tool. And I'm a very practical person, right? So I could say to you, oh, well, mindfulness is the ability to, you know, be in the moment and notice everything, and you know, without judgment, and try and practice detachment, and all of these different, you know, things that you will read, this is what mindfulness is. But like I say, I'm a practical person. So I would say that mindfulness offers the person who practices mindfulness, it offers them steadiness, and it offers them that deep sense of steadiness, and to know that even though I don't know what's going to happen, I know that whatever happens, I will be okay. I will be, and that's not in a selfish way. It just means that, you know, that whatever happens, you'll be okay. You'll be able to manage it. It might be some things are painful and difficult, and some things are really joyous. But at the base of everything, there is this sense of steadiness and this sense of ease and this understanding that life is filled with moments of preciousness. And when you practice mindfulness, you're more aware of that. You know, you don't need a crisis in your life to recognize, oh my goodness, I have such wonderful parts of my life. I have such wonderful people. And yeah, it just gives you a greater appreciation. But for me, like, because I teach a lot of mindfulness, well, I used to teach a lot of mindfulness in schools. And I always think that that's the benefit of introducing it you can introduce it at any age, but at a young age, you know, because it helps children and adults alike, that even it helps you know yourself a little bit better as well, but it helps you to be able to say, okay, well, you know, not everybody's going to like me. And this is really important for children, I find, you know, and that's okay. I understand that you mightn't like me, you know, but I like me. I know me and I like me, and that kind of steadiness is, you know, developed in childhood and built throughout our lives, allows people to live their life in the way that feels right and true for them from their heart. You know, it helps you to be more authentic and live a life, that's my tag in my podcast, I always say, a life that is real and honest and true, you know.
Is what mindfulness is helping you to kind of live, I suppose, and access.
Yeah, yeah. That, like, if you practice mindfulness, that's a side effect. Yeah, happiness. And
it's a great side effect.
It is, yeah, it is.
And you just I was very, very interested about the, you know, the children part of it, because obviously your mammy kind of gave you those skills when you were younger. Yeah. Is that the way, obviously as an adult it can be very transformative as well, but is that a very good way to go about it, giving kids these tools and introducing it from a young age in schools? Was that something you were drawn to?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I it's so valuable. It's such a life skill. You know, I teach mindfulness in school, but I'm a camogie and ladies Gaelic football coach as well, and I just find that
What were you coaching?
I coach under 6, under 8, under 10, under 12, and this year now I'm taking under 14 as well.
They're the real fundamental groups.
Oh, they're the fundamental groups, and I get such joy from them, you know, and yeah, I really do, and I always try and you know, take the role of being the mirror, you know, that, and I try to, you know, let the kids know, like, you know, that, you know, I wish you could see what I could see. I wish you could just see yourself as I see you. And I know that maybe you can't yet, you don't feel confident enough yet, and you're not sure yet, but until you can see it, I'm going to keep seeing it on your behalf, and I'm going to keep letting you know that I can see it, you know. And I just think, yeah, it's so nurturing, and it's so, you see, because the way I believe society is going at the moment is that there's this real attitude of, you know, pointing the finger and pulling people down and blaming, and we point outwards, but we're less likely to, you know, kind of, you know, look at ourselves or say, oh gosh, I'm fallible, actually, I made a mistake. It's very hard, and we've kind of created that society where mistakes and, you know, failure is such is perceived to be such a bad thing, and I think that that's seeping into our culture, and our younger generation aren't being bolstered, you know, and scaffolded enough by all of the, because it's not that adults are letting them down. It's just, it's really unfortunate that adults themselves at the moment can't always see the truth. They can't always see that they can't be present for their children because they're exhausted as well, and they're under pressure and they're under stress, and the pace of life, even though we have had COVID times, the pace of life and the pressures that are there are so overwhelming that unfortunately a lot of the times parents and adults can't be there for their children, not because they don't want to, because they're exhausted in and of themselves. But I think if you begin to practice mindfully, just being or building your awareness and being noticing a little bit more what's happening, that you might be able to be a little bit more there and present for your children. Because, you know, children don't really need, you know, they don't always need the things that they want, if that makes sense. They might want loads of things, but they don't always need those. But what they need really,
might need a bit of attention maybe.
Someone to be steadiness. Like steadiness for me is a superpower. That's what I always keep saying. Steadiness is a superpower. But unfortunately, it's hard to be steady nowadays unless you practice it, you know?
Do you think this is me anecdotally saying this, but I do think that you see more of a shift now towards people coming to yoga and mindfulness and meditation and practices like that. Would you think, Kat, in your opinion, is that a direct result of living in a busier world? Are people searching for that kind of stillness, that grounding nature, because our world is, I know, as you said, the pandemic has been in the middle of it, but there's still been stress induced by that, that we're living in a more stressful environment, perceivably, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree with you, Anne. Yeah, I think that our essence, like our nature, the nature of people is we need stillness. We need it. Like and if we've been busy, 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 busy for so long, you know, you'll get to, like me in my 20s when I thought, gosh, you know, if I could, you know, fly in business class, it'd be deadly. And, you know, having all this money, it'll be deadly. And seeing all these people or these places, this is going to be deadly. This is going to be great. But like when you get there and you experience all of that, you realize, actually, this isn't, on the surface, it's lovely, but I'm missing something deeper down. And I think that people become disillusioned. Anybody that I find that comes to yoga or mindfulness, and sometimes people come to yoga for physical reasons, but then what they find then is that, oh, I'm really enjoying the mental and the emotional benefit that I'm receiving as well. But I think, yeah, people become disillusioned in my experience because the pattern, you know, you go to school, you go to university, you get a job, you get, you know, a promotion, you get to drive this car, you have this home, you collect all of these material things, and then you'll be happy. Yet we can gather all of those, but I'm still not feeling happy. I'm still not feeling whole. I'm still not feeling real. There's still something missing. So what are we going to fill it with? Well, sometimes we fill it with alcohol or buying more stuff, clothing, or, you know, I'm still feeling a bit hollow. I'm still not feeling right. And so then you get to that point and you think, right, well, I'll chance this thing. Maybe this will give me something. And what it offers is a chance to pause. And like I tried to say in my podcast, I'm not trying to say to anybody, this is the way to be. I'm just trying to remind people of the stuff that they already know. But there's not enough of that out, I think, in the general consciousness at the moment, or not maybe in general media. Nobody's going to say, hold on there now, Anne, you know, take a day off, or, you know, or you don't need to be striving for all of these things. You don't need to be busy, 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 because busy, busy, busy is so glorified. And if you're multitasking, gosh, aren't you just, you're so valuable. If you're so valuable, if you can do loads of things. Yes, we are. And we're very talented and we're very creative and we have huge amount of potential, but we just need to balance that out with some time to just rest and recuperate. Yeah.
And that's something I've even found myself during the pandemic a bit. You think that you have all this extra time and maybe you should be filling it to be busy and be more productive, But regardless, you still need that time to come back down, a bit of me time or reflection or just time to do nothing. You know, it's kind of important still.
It's essential. Like it's an essential part of our own self-care. You need to give yourself time just to be, because that's our essential nature, you know, just to be. And the interesting thing about giving yourself time to be, if you want to talk about like in mindfulness terms, you're not doing nothing. You're in a state of non-doing, right? You're simply being. Okay. So and we do that, and believe it or not, it is in this. We don't try and stop our thoughts because we can't do that. The nature of our mind is to think. So you can't stop thinking. And I think sometimes people think, oh, if I'm aware I'm after saying think a lot there, but you know that, oh, I'm meditating, I'm trying to, and I can't meditate because I can't stop thinking. But the goal of meditation isn't to stop you thinking, because we can't do that. The goal of meditation is to have you be, yes, you're aware that you're thinking, but you're not focusing on that thought. Okay, you might be focusing maybe on your breath, or you might be focusing on an object that's in front of you, or you might be focusing on a mantra or words that you're saying. And then what happens is the space between your thoughts increases. So therefore, you're exposed then to a lot more stillness. Okay, so initially when you start meditating, you mightn't be able to go, you know, even a half a second without having a thought. But then, like I say, that space and the really wonderful thing about the space between your thoughts, that's where inspiration floods up. Do you see? And so the more stillness and quietness and peacefulness and ease you can bring into your life, the more creative you become. And the more, I keep using the word joy, but the more joyful your life will feel, and you will enjoy it as well. And contrary to what you might think, if you stop and do, like I say, do nothing, but be in that state of non-doing, you'll actually become much more efficient. So in actual fact, it speeds things up, even though you're slowing things down, but then your decision-making becomes clearer. You're much more aware of what you actually want. You know, you're much more aware of where you're going. And then the path to get to where you want to go is much clearer, because you have more clarity of thought and more clarity of vision. And there's not as much static noise going on in your mind, because you're clearer now. So,
and is this, tell me a small bit about your own podcast that you started recently, Catherine. Are these the kind of topics that you're delving into there? What's the format of it?
The format of it is
the name, I suppose, first, for anybody who wants to check out. They might be listening to this podcast and be like, I need to hear more from Catherine Callahan.
Oh, thank you, Anne. It is called The One Calm Voice Podcast. That's what it is. And you'll find it on all good podcast platforms, actually. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those sort of places. And it's came from an idea that in 2019 that people were always saying to me, oh, your voice is so lovely. Like, they love the meditation at the end of yoga practice. My daughter, my youngest daughter, says, I'm going to start a podcast, mommy, and it's going to be called That One Loud Voice, you know. But anyway, that's besides the point. And oftentimes what had happened was students of mine, you know, maybe because I teach prenatal yoga as well, they'd say, oh, would you be able to record something for me, like, so I can listen to it when I'm in the delivery room, or my daughter's doing her leave and certain, she's very stressed out, is there any chance that you'd be able to do like a little meditation for me or for her? And like, so that had happened to me many times. Then I thought, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea to just put my voice out there. And so I'm very, like I already said, to repeat myself, very practical based. And I find that people who are worried or anxious or stressed, or they're not in the frame of mind to be able to sit down and listen to a big long meditation. You know, they need, how am I going to bring this into my life, and how is it going to make a difference? So that's what my podcast tries to do. I usually am informed by whatever happens for me that week, this week or that week. I started in January 2020. So this week just gone is episode number 65. And this week is just gone. What was it? Oh yeah. One Calm Voice When You're Feeling Frazzled. Now, frazzled isn't a word that everybody recognizes. So, like, you know, when you're feeling stressed out. And the week before, I think it was one calm voice when you're having a bad day. I have one on there very early on, one calm voice for helping you with sleep. And I have one all about my mom as well. And every one calm voice when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling upset, when you're not sure what to do, just things that happen for each and every one of us. And what I try to do is introduce the topic, say, you know, try and unpick it. What does it mean when I'm feeling angry? And then I try and give a way to maybe reframe it, to look at it slightly differently. And then I try and give a practice then that we can use that week to try and help us with that. And yeah, that's roughly about it. Yeah.
And have you, obviously you started, I suppose, yeah, but pre-pandemic, but, you know, a lot of it has been during the pandemic. Have you found, Catherine, from speaking with different people, do people feel like they need mindfulness more now, or do you think in times when people are panicked like this, should people be coming more towards, you know, taking a bit of time for themselves?
I think at any time yoga and our mindfulness and meditation and taking time for yourself is essential. It will always be beneficial. It will always soothe. Well,
it's not just be firefighting, I suppose, you know.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When something goes wrong, you know, kind of.
Yes, exactly. Thing. Oh, yeah. No, one of my top tips would be that it's nearly more important to practice mindfulness in times when you don't feel stressed, when you don't feel anxious. Because for me, it builds up this kind of reservoir, you know, you might say a bank of calmness or a reservoir of calmness. And so what happens then is when a crisis kind of happens or a situation happens that would normally have you stressed out, you won't react. You'll have the wherewithal to be able to respond to what's happening. And when we respond, we're much more, you know, we're engaged in our prefrontal cortex. So we're actually thinking about what is actually happening here and what is the best way for me to respond to this, rather than going, you know, if you're reacting, oftentimes there's words out of our mouth and actions taken that in the cold light of day afterwards, you might think, oh, God, I really didn't do that. And then, of course, I really shouldn't have done that. And then you're giving out yourself for what you have done, and then, you know, it becomes like that, a kind of a snowball effect. But yeah, I would always recommend that you practice mindfulness. It's a practice, it's called a practice for a reason. We do it each and every day, and that is where the benefit will come. And for me, it took, I'd say, about 2 weeks before I still remember having this experience whereby something happened in the midst of all of the minding of my Martin and Daddy and Mam and the kids. And I remember having this internal conversation saying, come on, will you? You need to be freaking out here. Come on. What's going to get going? But it doesn't feel like doing that. I felt this, no, I'm just going to like respond to this now and it'll be, I'll work it out. And it's, for me, it's a much more skillful way of living. So if you're interested in having a little bit more ease in your life, if you're interested in feeling like you have a modicum of control in your life, if you would like to be a little bit more efficient, if you'd like to feel a little bit more calm, then, and if you just overall would like to feel more at home within yourself, then mindfulness is definitely a pathway to help you to get there.
And how has the pandemic affected your own business, I suppose, in terms of teaching yoga classes and mindfulness? Has it scuppered that a small bit, Catherine?
Yeah, completely, actually. I went online for a while, just for all my regulars last year, maybe from April to June, the end of June, just as an offering. Now, there was no like set structure, there was no you need to pay and come on a Zoom, it wasn't any of that. It was just, I'm running a class, guys, on Wednesday, like I've always run on a Wednesday morning. If you want to come along. And it was really well received and I really enjoyed it. But I thought, sure, come September we'll all be back to school and everybody will be, but that hasn't happened. And what I find now is I'm giving out so much that, I'm giving out so much of my energy. I'm not ready at the moment to do that. I'm not prepared to do that. I like writing and I like doing the podcast and I want to be here for my family. Like my husband's been working from home as well since last March. So, and that's a lot, you know, when we have the few sheep and we have the farm and I'm very involved. And even though I know GA is only coming back now, but I'm chairperson of the Camogie Club in here in Kildavin, Clonegal. And that's as busy as I'm able to be at the moment, because when you're working online, and I'm sure you know yourself, that we don't get the same feedback. Sure we don't, Anne. Like, it's not the same. No. Like, it's not the same. And so you're giving out all of this energy.
You miss the tea room and you miss the chats and the interaction and the people.
Yeah. And I find that's the part of it that I need now, you know, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm sure that it will come back. It will come back. Sure, it has to come back. Like, you know. But,
yeah, I was reading your column actually last Thursday in the Country Living came out, and you were saying yes, and it's really struck with me. And I keep telling, because sometimes it can be so detrimental to think, what if things never get back to normal? And I just keep saying, yet, it's not here yet, but it will come.
Exactly, it will come. That on board. Oh, fantastic. I love that. That's one of my big coaching ones as well when it comes to Camogie. I'm like, you can't do it yet, you know. But you will. Like, remember
Camogie teams.
I don't know. And the footballers, I just love them. They're just it would absolutely lift you. And of course, I must say now, when I talk about, I know I said that my mammy was my inspiration for all of, you know, yoga and mindfulness and all that wonderful stuff. When it comes to sport, a special shout out for the principal of our primary school, Eamon Whelan, who was tremendous and has inspired generations of people to play sport. And I think that, I know it's very popular now to say if you have one good adult, but that's because it's really true. Like, if you, and we can never underestimate, you know, what kind of an effect or, you know, even one little word or one little smile or one little interaction. Like, you don't have to be a coach or a teacher or anything like that, you know, that we all have that kind of ability within us to do something that's positive and nurturing, not just for ourselves but for others as well. And I think that when we practice mindfulness, we become a little bit more aware of, you know, like I said about I like me, because you spend time with yourself. I always say you're not by yourself, you're with yourself. And then you recognize, actually, I'm quite an okay person to be with. I like that. And then, you know, you're more conscious then when you're relating to another person, that you're with them, you're giving them your attention. You're not just sitting there and you're both scrolling on phones. You're with them, you're interested, you're asking. And it just gives a much more, authentic and nice and meaningful. It gives a greater meaning to our relationships with self and with other.
And Catherine, just my final thing, if someone was listening to this now and they, I suppose, they're interested, what is the one thing someone can do right now to, I suppose, just bring themselves down, take a moment for themselves?
Okay. I would always go to my breath, because my breath will, you don't need any tools, you see, your breath, you always have your breath. Your breath is always with you. It will always soothe. It will always guide. And my one that I love is to put both my hands maybe on my chest. Now, you know, if you're not sure about that, you can put one hand on your chest and one hand on your tummy. And all you have to do is kind of just take a breath. But you're going to try and notice, if you can, that you're breathing.
I'm sorry, I'm doing it here now. I know no one can see you. You can, your hands there in your chest, they kind of, you feel the rise and fall of your chest.
Exactly. And like, even sometimes I'll put my fingertips on my collarbones as well, and you can feel them lift. And like, I think actually I probably did that practice in this week's episode episode number 65 of the One Camp Voice podcast, you'll have a much longer version of that. But all you're trying to do is you're trying to tap into the movement. So you notice tummy rising, chest rising, collarbones lifting, and then collarbones falling, chest falling, tummy falling. And it's just the most beautiful thing. And you kind of give yourself a little, you get in the habit of doing it, then you might, you know, sometimes people will put a little reminder on their phone. Oh yeah, I must just check in with my breath. You're just noticing, do you see? And then what happens then is it develops your focus, but not just your focus on your breath. It develops your focus on your work, on your relationships, on every single thing, on every single thing.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm not even just saying this. I have this calmness over me after speaking to you. And I just want to keep it for the whole day now. I don't want anybody else to interrupt it or take it away.
Oh, you're very kind, Anne. Thanks ever so much. I really enjoyed it. And I don't know, when I sit down to do my own podcast, I just trust that whatever is supposed to come out, whatever I'm supposed to say, I say. So I don't know. I hope I made sense, and I hope you that somebody can glean something from it anyway. But thank you. You've been the perfect host. So
thank you very much, Kathy.
Thanks, Anne.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.